start by asking a really important question. I think it's important. I think there are those who open their presents on Christmas Eve, and there are those who open their presents on Christmas morning. And so I just want to take a quick survey. Who is a Christmas morning family? Raise your hand. If you're a Christmas morning, that's when you open your presents. Okay, raise your hand if you actually do it the right way on Christmas Eve. We're a Christmas Eve family. We are. I already told my kids the 5 o'clock service sermon is going to be really short because I've got to get there to open presents. Pretty much every morning, I am grateful for two things mainly. And I say this to God just about every day. I am thankful for breath in my lungs and peace on the streets. Breath in my lungs and peace on our streets. I feel like without those two things, there's not a lot of other things we can enjoy. We need those two things to enjoy anything else. And I am thankful for a million other things, but breath and peace are always in first position for me. The body longs for breath, and the soul longs for peace. I think with nearly the same intensity. So it's significant that this prophecy from Isaiah, we've already read it twice today, and we've been reading it at B4 for the last month. This prophecy that Isaiah gave to the people of Israel 8 centuries before the birth of Jesus is so profound because in this prophecy, he announces that Jesus is going to come, and in his names, there are the very things that we long for. Jesus comes as the thing that our soul needs most. It says this, every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. This is a really interesting way Isaiah starts this by saying this clearly was not a peaceful time. Garments rolled in blood, boots used for battle, they were emerging from a time that had been very violent and troubled, like our world, troubled. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. Prince of Peace. That's a governmental term. A prince rules a kingdom. The baby that was born for us is the ruler of the kingdom of peace. And for my money, I would like to build a house right on Main Street in the kingdom of peace. That's where I want to live, right in the kingdom of peace. And that's what he rules and how he rules. And we take peace for granted in America, I think. I thank God every day for peace in our streets. I thank God that no one's being killed outside my window. But America has its own, there's a lot of ways that America is not peaceful. Lots of people who went before us fought for it, and most of us has fortunately been able to just live in it. We aren't at war with anyone right now. We don't have military conflict here in our borders. We have food in our grocery stores, and unemployment is low. So if we were to put some kind of measurement on America's peace, what would you do? What would you say about it? Would we have 8 pounds of peace? Would we have 18 shekels of peace? How do you quantify something like peace? There actually is a number for it. It's called the Global Peace Index. The 2024 report, I fell into it in my office the other day, spent a bunch of time looking at it, so you don't have to. It's very interesting. It measures the peace using 5 criteria, and it measures the peace of 163 different countries and territories. That covers 97% of the world's population. And actually, number one is Iceland. And it's interesting how they do this. I don't understand their scoring system. I only know that it's like golf. The higher your score, the more you're losing, that kind of thing. I know that. So America got a 2.622. So what does that mean? Don't really know, but here's what I do know. North America had the biggest decrease in peace in 2024 of any other nation. In fact, North America decreased 10 times more than the average rate. And North America contains Canada and the United States, and Canada is number 11 on the peaceful country list. Do you know what America is with the United States? 132. Only 31 countries are less peaceful than America. We are under Belarus. I mean, there's a lot happening in our country. It turns out You can have peace in your streets and conflict in a bunch of other areas. And that's where we find ourselves in the country you're sitting in today. We find ourselves with lots of conflict. But before we all move to Iceland, you can also have peace in your streets and a war in your soul. If we move to Iceland, we take our war with us. The word for peace is really big here. It's the word shalom. And this word is bigger than just an absence of conflict. It's not just pat everything down and make nice. Everyone just get along. Like your mom says in the minivan before she pulls it over, everyone just please get along. Just pretend to have peace. That's not shalom. Shalom is actually a beautiful word that kind of it gives this idea of completeness and satisfaction. I love a definition for shalom that's just nothing missing, nothing broken. When's the last time you felt that in your life? Nothing's missing, nothing's broken. It speaks of a soul deep satisfaction that is so sturdy and substantive that it lasts even in the presence of conflict. It's a feeling, it's like feeling at home in your own soul. You feel safe in your own skin. I went to Africa about 20 years ago, and I got to speak in some churches that were in pretty rough areas, and I got to visit some people in their homes that were impoverished, and it was a really good and really difficult trip. And when I got home, I walked in the door of my house, and I felt like I have never seen a more beautiful sight in my whole life. This home is the best home I've ever seen anywhere, anytime. I'm never leaving this home. I'm going to live here for as long as I live. And then 2 weeks later, I went to Street of Dreams. And it was a whole different level of home shalom. And all of a sudden, I'm like, I'm kind of discontent inside this home. And we can feel that inside our own soul. Does your soul feel like home? Does it feel like there's peace? That's what Jesus came to bring to you. Isaiah uses an intriguing term for it. He says, it's ever increasing, this peace. The peace that was promised to us through the Messiah is never ending, ever increasing. Jesus broke through the veil between heaven and earth as a baby, and the words spoken by the chorus of angels tell the shepherds exactly why he came. It says in Luke 2, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace on those whom his favor rests. It says peace and goodwill toward men. Have you ever thought about that? God has goodwill toward you. He likes you. He's not mad at you. God has good feelings and good thoughts towards you. His favor was extended to us in our desperation and our striving through the incarnation of his Son. And in order to reach us, he stretched out his own beloved Son. He sent him to the wrong side of the tracks, clothed in skin and blood and bone, to walk our streets where danger prowls and peace is hard to come by. This particular prince comes into our world, and instead of ruling with a scepter and a crown, he walks our roads all the way to the violent despair of the cross. He does it so that we can be certain that he understands how desperately we need peace and how the world doesn't ever really serve it up for us. He does it to redeem us, finally, definitively. I can hardly get my mind around this little idea of never-ending, always increasing peace. How do we quantify that? Ever-increasing peace. What kind of measurement do we put around that? I'm not good at math. They don't let me near numbers here because I'm pretty bad at it. I'll mess things up. But I do remember the very first thing I learned about math in first grade. I learned greater than, less than. 5 is greater than 2. 3 is less than 1. 3 is more than greater than. No, I'm not good at it. You guys, it's problematic. That's my husband taking the checkbook away. But greater than, less than. There are more apples in one bucket than the other bucket. I should have started there. That's easier. More apples in one bucket than the other bucket. And I think that's the idea of never-ending, ever-increasing peace. No matter what we face, no matter what conflict, no matter what anxiety, no matter what turmoil in our life, God's peace is always greater than it. Always greater, always better, always transcendent. It's something we can always go to. I can trust that it won't run out on me. That's the Prince of Peace and Him coming to meet us with His peace. His peace is more. It's more than our conflict, more than our trial. As John said in 1 John, greater than our worried hearts. That sounds to me like the most beautiful Christmas gift ever. The gift of unending peace, completeness, shalom. The important thing I think to hold on to is this. Neither the Bible nor any of the prophets or Bible writers ever claim that life on earth is peaceful. They never ridicule us for not being able to work it up on our own. They never tell us you ought to be just making your own peace. They always point us to the Prince of Peace. They aren't talking about a peace that we earn or work up. They're talking about peace that comes to meet us. That's what distinguishes the peace of God. It comes to meet us. It comes to meet us in trouble. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid." In John 16, he says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." I think this scripture, Jesus is saying, in this world you will have trouble, but take peace. I've overcome the world. I've come to meet you in trouble. I've come to meet you in the stuff you don't know how to handle. And He came to meet us in anxiety. We are a society riddled with anxiety, riddled with it. I read a study that said the level of anxiety we live in today would have institutionalized people in the 1950s. This is a society that is working and striving and running as fast as we can, and it's killing us. But in Philippians 4, Paul says, "From prison, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." The Prince of Peace comes to meet us in the middle of anxiety and confusion. This word transcends is so big. It's bigger than our trouble. It's bigger than the scary stuff. And it calls to mind the idea of Isaiah's endlessly increasing peace, always transcendent peace, peace bigger than us, bigger than our world, bigger than our fears. It's completeness. And finally, this, my favorite scripture about peace. 2 Thessalonians, "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord is with you." May God give you peace at all times and in every way. That's a pretty comprehensive statement. Do we need peace right now? Is it all times? Yep. What's happening? We've got peace in all times and in every way. This is the way the Prince of Peace comes to meet us. All and every. Complete shalom. Everything coming together, body, soul, spirit, desires, dreams, hope, heartache, everything being worked together to create a subterranean soul peace that cannot be taken or shaken. Peace meets us in trouble. It meets us in anxiety. And it meets us in all times and in every way. I don't know what time you find yourself in today, or the place where you maybe feel you need the Prince of Peace to meet you. Maybe you've been trying to earn it, work it up, figure it out, fix everything, but the Prince of Peace is for you. It's for you He came. And so I'd love for you to think while we pray, where is the area that I most feel like I need peace? Maybe finances, maybe in your family. Maybe you're dreading this Christmas for some reason. Maybe it's in your job or your business. Maybe it's for eternity. Do you need peace to know that your eternity is settled? Ask him. Jesus, we love you. King Jesus, Prince of Peace, wonderful, mighty, good, good counselor, we love you. God, I pray for my friends in this room. I pray that you would meet every heart exactly where they are. Meet us in our desperation. Meet us in our success. Meet us in our triumphs. Meet us in our tragedies. Meet us in our sorrow and our suffering and our longing. Meet us here today, Prince of Peace. We rest our government on your shoulder, and we ask that you would come with your rule, come with your reign, and bring to us the peace that our souls long for. We thank you for the gift of shalom. We thank you for the gift of Christmas. In your name we pray, amen. Hey, we are gonna do our favorite time in the Christmas Eve service. I decided in the last service, thanks Steve, this isn't just my favorite moment of the service, this is my favorite moment of the year. I love this moment. We're gonna have our candlelight time, and it's just this time where we get to see a visual of how the light of the world steps into our world. And so the staff is gonna come forward and they're gonna light your candles. They're gonna be going down the aisles. And if you will light the candles by putting yours over the top rather than dripping wax, because I love our maintenance team and I want them to love me. And so if you just put your candle on top of the lit candle, and then we will sing and I'll come back and close. Could you stand with me? You are the light of the world. I would love for just to take a minute and raise our candles up and look around and just see how the light spreads and shines through dark times and dark rooms. So cool. We have a time-honored tradition at B4 of the way that we extinguish our candles. And if you're just visiting here today, and perhaps you've never made a decision to follow Jesus, we're gonna just invite you to follow along and extinguish your candle anytime. That's great. But if you are here and you have been following Jesus for 1 year or less, maybe this was a big year in your life, and this is a year you made a decision, would you hold your candle up? Let us see it. Yeah, awesome, so good. Okay, you can extinguish your candle. If you have been following Jesus for 5 years or less, would you hold your candle up? Let us see it. Ooh, nice, wonderful, thank you. You can extinguish your candles. Oh, I forgot to tell you, we're supposed to use our fingers to extinguish them instead of blowing them out. Again, keep me in good standing with our maintenance crew. I appreciate it. 10 years or less, you've been following Jesus. Nice, cool, amazing. You can extinguish your candles. 20 years or less, 20 years, amazing, wonderful. You can extinguish your candles. 2 decades, way to go. 30 years or less, 30 years, amazing. Fantastic, you can extinguish your candles. 40 years, 40, amazing. So good, you can extinguish your candles. Okay, big numbers, 50 years, that one's mine. 50 years, incredible, yes. You can extinguish your candles. 60 years, wow, incredible. Can I just tell you, 60 years, you've seen some stuff. You've lived through some stuff. We so appreciate it. You can extinguish your candles. Okay, 70 years. Amazing, yeah. Extinguish your candles. I love this one. 80 years. Wonderful. Over here, this little light over here. Amazing. Do we have 85 years? What? Two? 90 years? That's it. Amazing. Thank you so much. That is incredible. We like to end our services here with a benediction. I want to tell you too, you can drop your candles off in the boxes on your way out. That will help us a lot. We like to end our services with a benediction, and we're going to do that today as well. If you'd like to receive it, we invite you to put your hands out in front of you. May the Prince of Peace visit your heart and home this Christmas. May you sense him near and dear and greater than fear, greater than confusion, greater than our own worried hearts. And may you, being filled with his ever-increasing peace, be an agent of peace in your world. In the name of the one who brings peace, peace, and more peace. And we all said, amen. Hey, before we love you, Merry Christmas.